D-Mace, Finken, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 the game. We are awaiting new Titans GM Mike Borgonzi. In the meantime, let's get to some of your texts at 615-737-1025. One texter says, I think people forget that it takes more than just one person to fix a messy situation. You can have the manager at the number one Costco in the nation leave his job to go manage a messy Walmart, and that Walmart could still suck, and that Costco could still be number one.
Yeah, you got a point.
I suppose that's true. I'm partial to Costco myself.
Yeah.
Let's see some other questions. Bob wants to know why we haven't heard anything about a Mike Keith replacement. Well, I imagine that is an exhaustive search.
Exactly.
To replace,
they better get that one right.
Mike Keith, yes, that absolutely needs to happen. Actually, David has Michael. It says Michael Borgonz on the phone, so this can only mean one thing. As we await,
did we shorten his name to just Michael Borgonz?
It just says on the phone, Michael Borgonz.
You think he'll take that? Right. Can we just start calling him Borgonz?
I think his friends call him Borgonz.
Yeah, we're not his friends yet.
Let us welcome new Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi to the program. Mike, Adam Vingan, Derek Mason, Willie Donick here with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Nashville.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely.
It's been a whirlwind these last few days, but it's great to finally get settled in.
I can only imagine we appreciate you taking some time to join us. So the Titans find themselves, Mike, in a similar position as the 2012 Chiefs. And for those who don't know, those Chiefs went 2-14, had their number one pick in the NFL draft. I'd love for you to get into the weeds with us a little bit. What were the key components of that turnaround, and how will that inform your process here with the Titans?
You know, when I look back to that team, there were some pieces on the team that we had. We had some talented guys. But of course, you know, we needed to build a foundation of guys that through the draft. And one of the biggest things for us was just is finding those core guys for us, you know, to kind of change the culture. So we did some things in free agency that year. We didn't make a ton of moves, but, you know, we signed, I think I mentioned in my presser, guys like Mike DeVito, Anthony Fasano at the time, you know, really just to fill some holes before the draft, but also really to build that foundation in the roster with the right type of guys, character guys, culture guys. And then, you know, our process really was to draft and develop. You know, we drafted Kelsey that first year in the third round. And just continued to stack guys through the draft. You know, we were able to solidify the quarterback position that year with Alex Smith. We ended up trading for him in San Francisco. So those are the things we had to do first. I mean, number one was solidify the quarterback position and then start building the guy with, you know, the roster with culture guys and started identifying those type of players.
Let's talk about that quarterback position for a minute. As you evaluate the quarterback market this offseason, be it the draft, be it free agency, or via trade, if you find that there is no franchise-changing quarterback, someone that you can build around, what do you do?
You have to bridge the gap. You know, I think these discussions, I'm just diving into it right now. You know, I wasn't watching the top quarterbacks during the season. We had one, obviously, in Kansas City with Patrick. So I'm diving in the process right now with an open mind. You know, I'm getting with Coach Callie and his staff, our personnel staff. And we're going to, you know, we're going to look through free agency. We're going to look through the draft. You know, however it trades, whatever we have to do to solidify that position. But we're pretty early on in the process right now.
Is there an archetype of quarterback you're looking for in terms of the attributes that player needs to have?
Well, you know, number one is leadership. I mean, that position is the face of the franchise. So we're looking for a leader of men that the team will follow. I think that's first and foremost. And then we'll get through the, you know, they come in all shapes and sizes and athleticism. And, you know, a lot of this is from the neck up too, and how you can process information as a quarterback. So, you know, some guys have more mobility than others. But, you know, what we're looking at, there's no specific, you know, type we're looking at right now. You know, we just want to make sure the intangibles are there. And there's going to be guys that run a little bit faster, that have stronger arms. You know, we want to get the best fit here for the Titans. So that's really the process that we're working through right now.
New Titans GM Mike Borgonzi joining us here on the program. Mike, you said yesterday that the Chiefs weren't really concerned about job titles. And Chad Brinker also said yesterday that everybody's title here will get checked at the door. Both of you downplayed the concept of final say, which has been a hot topic of discussion around here for long before you arrived. In that case, how are disagreements settled, and whose opinion matters most in those situations?
Well, I mean, we had disagreements in Kansas City, you know, but I think the most important part is you do have to check your ego at the door and make the best decision for the team. And there was never a point where we got in the draft and we were still discussing it. Like, we're going to be in meetings now for the next, you know, 2 or 3 months here before the draft. And we're going to talk things out. I'll talk things out with Chad. I'll talk things out with Brian to make sure we're on the same page, whatever player we're acquiring. So, you know, these things get, I understand the question yesterday with the 53, because that is, you know, put into people's contracts. But I think the successful teams, you know, meet and work together to find solutions to the problem. So there was never a point where there was infighting in Kansas City over certain things. We agreed on every pick that we made.
We're talking with Mike Borgansley, Tennessee Titans' new general manager. Now, Mike, what has been your conversations with Brian in regards to the expectations, but also ensuring him that the organization will be patient? Because you guys have talked a lot about patience. In the position that you guys are in, potentially drafting a quarterback with the first pick, and you know young quarterbacks, everybody don't start off like Jaden Daniels or C.J. Stroud, but knowing that you want to see progress, but how much patience will you show and ensure the head coach that, hey, listen, under this circumstances, we're going to be patient with you?
Oh, absolutely. That's all part of the plan. You know, so whatever player we take, the developmental part is big, especially for the quarterback position. When we took Patrick, we had a plan for him. You know, we knew we were going to sit him for a year. And you have to stay disciplined with that plan. And we had a guy like Alex Smith that could teach him throughout the whole year. So every situation is a little bit different. Every player is a little bit different. I know Jaden took off this year, year one. So, you know, the most important thing is you have to have a plan coming in. And then to be able to adjust the plan as well. As you get through OTAs and training camp, If he's ready to play, we're going to play him. So, you know, I think the most important part is having a plan and communicating it. And listen, you know, we're a 3-win football team last year, right? So it's going to take some time to build up this roster. But we also feel the urgency to win now, and that's what we do want to do. So we're going to, you know, be selective in free agency where we can. And we're really going to try to draft and develop. So, but the plan will always be tied to the hip with Brian in terms of the plan for the roster, though.
Yes, and I do understand that. But we all know that, you know, when you're bringing in a young quarterback, if indeed that's what you guys choose to do and you need him to play right away, and he shows that he can play right away, but there's still going to be some growing pains within it. So, telling us that even though there's growing pains, the head coach know that through this process, we are dedicated to it, and we're going to be patient with him, the head coach, as well as the quarterback.
That's absolutely right. Okay. That's absolutely right. You know, we'll be on the same page with that. And we understand there's going to be growing pains. There's growing pains with every rookies. So we're going to be on the same page with that for sure.
Okay, now what was the process? Because I'm sure you had a front row seat, and you probably was more than likely a part of the discussions. So what was the process in trading, or the reason why you chose to trade for L'Jarius Sneed? Was it because of the knees, the contract? Because now you're the GM here, and do you still have those same concerns, being it that he did get injured this year, and they have been sort of coy with what the injury is truly in regards to Sneed? So do you still have those same concerns with him now that you are the GM on his team?
We didn't have many concerns with LJ. LJ was a huge part of our team, and you know we felt when you know LJ left us that was a huge void, and it is a big void, you know, on that Chiefs roster right now. He was one of our, you know, if not the top corner, him and McDuffie on the team. It comes down to when you get to a point where we're at with so many young players, and you're thinking year two, year three with extensions for players. We had some pretty good draft classes. Extensions with Chris Jones. So you're forecasting your cap for the next 2-3 years. So that was strictly a cap management move that we had to make with LJ. But, you know, I'm happy LJ's here, and I can't wait to get with him. And, you know, we're going to get him back right here. But I'm looking forward to LJ having a big year here.
So there's no concerns with the knee in regards to Snead?
No, you know, I'm not going to get into medical stuff, okay. But there wasn't a concern with us. I mean, he okay. played at an all-pro level that last year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely mm-hmm. right about that.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Mike Borgonzi, the brand-new general manager for the Tennessee Titans. And, Mike, welcome to Nashville. I had a great conversation with Pat Sprududo, a guy that you worked with for a long time, that we go way back here in Nashville from his days running the Nashville Cats, a colleague of yours. And he gave us a big endorsement of you. So that's great. He actually gave me a little note on you that I think would be fun to share. But he said your son is involved in professional wrestling. What is that? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, Pat's one of my good friends. We worked together for 16 years in Kansas City, and he was a Boston guy. He actually grew up next town from me, so that's nice to hear that Pat said that about me. But, yeah, no, my son is a big wrestling fan. I'm sure you guys saw the story with the shooting at the parade and Trey Smith. Yeah, I mean, if you guys have seen the story, there was a shooting at the parade, and Trey, you know, really comforted my son Joey at the time, and he had that championship belt on. We were on the bus, so, you know, it kind of calmed my son Joey down at the time. So, you know, I'm forever grateful for Trey because he's a, you know, tremendous human being, tremendous football player. And they actually got to go to the WrestleMania last year. So it was a pretty cool moment, you know, under the circumstances. That was a tragedy that day. But yeah, no, he's a big wrestling fan though, and so is Trey. So there was a connection there.
Very interesting stuff. But Mike, you mentioned your Boston ties, and your accent gives you away, of course. And I married into a huge Red Sox family. My father-in-law. Oh. was the baseball coach at Dartmouth for a while. My dad actually went to Princeton, so I've got some Ivy League ties. I'm just curious, your Ivy League experience playing football, Brown. My father-in-law, if he's at our house, like, it doesn't matter if, like, Alabama's playing Tennessee or anything, he's going to be watching the Ivy League matches every Saturday. He's got me tuned in there. But what was that Ivy League experience like for you, and where do you think you took that into where you are now?
It was a great experience. You know, so I went to Brown, which was about an hour, you know, south of Boston. It was a great balance of, you know, academics and athletics, you know, and, you know, met a ton of good people there at Brown, have, you know, long friendships there from Brown. It was just a great place to network and the type of people that were there, and the league was still good. So I still follow Brown, and I'll have I'll have it on my phone. Usually, you know, we're going away games, and I'm always tuning into those Brown games. So, it was a great experience for me.
Mike, you kind of touched on this, the balance between building the roster to really open up a window for an extended period of time where you're contending every year, and also the urgency to try to make some progress early on. I know you're just sort of diving into where the roster is right now, but what do you think is mm-hmm. the reasonable expectation for this coming year? Because you've said, hey, look, we need some time here. It's pretty obvious that they've got a lot of holes. Can all those holes be reasonably filled in 1 year, or do you think it's going to take a couple of drafts?
You know, I think it will take a couple of drafts, but like I said, we're going to use free agency to supplement it. And listen, like I said, the first thing we have to do is solidify the quarterback position, and that usually, you know, will give you a jolt to the team once we solidify that quarterback position. But we want to be patient in terms of just building the roster with youth and getting that foundation in here to build the culture. But anytime you get a quarterback, you know, in here that can play, you know, you saw it in Washington this year, it can take the team to another level. So we understand that. And so that, you know, that's our biggest priority, you know, this off season.
Mike, one thing that sometimes gets overlooked, we talk about it a lot on our show, there's so much headlines for Patrick Mahomes and the success of the Chiefs, but you guys, when you were in Kansas City, of course, had a great defense. And it, we talk about a lot of offense and all the bells and whistles. You have to have the quarterback, but defense is so important these days if you watch. What was the key to being able to find the right defense and the right defensive personnel building around a quarterback that obviously is getting paid a big percentage of your salary cap?
That's important. I mean, that's where the draft really comes into play when, you know, the quarterback and Chris Jones, and you get certain players taking a huge chunk of the salary cap space. So, you know, we flipped the defense twice. We flipped it in 19. We flipped it in 22. And it was just an infusion of younger players that had a play right away. I think we had three or four of them starting in the Super Bowl in 22. And you know, that gave us complementary football. You know, that's what we're looking for here. You know, as much as, you know, the offense gets the credit in Kansas City, it was really the defense that really carried us for the last couple of years. And, you know, the offense got better throughout the year and made plays when they had to. But I think that's a big part of it. And, you know, just being young, fast, you know, things I talked about in the presser yesterday, that was our philosophy, building that defense, which is some high character guys too. And then having the synergy with the coaching staff. So we would get together with Spags and that whole defensive staff to see, you know, exactly what type of player fit in that defense. So, you know, that's the things that I'm going to be getting with Brian and Denard, you know, to find the exact profile of the type of players that we want on that side of the ball.
Derek asked you just a minute ago about the trade of Legarius Sneed. I want to ask you about one other big trade you guys made that has really worked well, even though it had to be a hard one to do. And that when you guys traded Tyreek Hill and got some more assets, but were able to continue a lot of success without him, what goes into a big decision like that, where you have to kind of think about your cap and how you can try to go about replacing a guy of his caliber?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly did not want to lose Tyreek. And, you know, we were going through that rebuild where we flipped the defense in 19 and the defense started to age a little bit, you know, a few years later. And we knew that we had some cap restrictions, you know, going into the next couple of years in terms of extensions that we wanted to do with some younger players. So really when we made the move with Tyreek and we met, we were in the office for, you know, three, 4 nights, probably till 2, 3 in the morning, you know, discussing this. It was a hard move for us, but we felt like it was the right move at the time because we really needed to, we needed an infusion on the defensive side. So, you know, flipping Tyreek, we were able to, you know, get some more draft picks with McDuffie and Karlaftis and start to really build the defense on that side. So, those decisions are hard because, you know, Tyreek was a huge part of our team and our offense those first few years there that we were winning. But that was really the reason that we did it, because we knew we had to accumulate some more picks and really get that defensive side of the ball better. And like I said, you know, that 22 draft, we ended up having, you know, three or four of those guys starting in the Super Bowl for us.
Now, Mike, thank you once again for your time. We really do appreciate it. I know our listeners do as well. But one more question for you, from me at least. Brinker talked about the football IQ and which positions, because Paul Kuharsky asked him about, you know, fast and physical over smart and gritty. And, you know, you answered the question, and then Brinker took over the rest, and he talked about, well, possibly there are some positions that you may not need sort of that smartness or that intelligence or what we all call football IQ. Can you be more specific in addressing which positions those are? Because he didn't go into which positions. But I would like, from my own knowledge, I would like to know which positions is that. Because if I'm on a football field, I think every position should have a high level of football IQ, especially when it comes to play the last 2 minutes of the game, pre and post snap penalties. So which can you identify which position that sort of pertains to?
You know, when I came, I understand the question. Mm-hmm. But we're looking for smart players, you know, across the board. Like you said, critical moments of the game. Those are the type of guys that make the plays that, you know, don't have dumb penalties and do all that. So, I mean, we're looking for smart positions, smart players across the board. You know, there's going to be some positions emphasis. Obviously, the quarterback is a big one. You know, the offensive lineman, intelligent piece. But, you know, every position on the football field there, you know, wide receivers. Mm-hmm. You know, we're looking for smart players across the board.
Titans GM Mike Borgonzi joining us on D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick. Mike, thank you so much for your time. We hope this is the first of many conversations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. And I'm super excited to be here in Nashville now. And, you know, we're heading down to the East-West today. So, you know, I can't wait to start the process now.
Thank you for your time, Mike. Talk soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
New Titans GM Mike Borgonzi joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We will quickly react to what Borgonzi had to say. You can also text us, call us 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.